Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
On Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, we're going to talk about the Dogs in Georgia Tech coming up. College Football Playoff Committee put the rankings out last night. We'll dive back into that with Connor Riley at 4 o'clock. We'll give you our picks, and we'll talk to Coach Arthur Smith a little bit later on. Right now, though, we want to say good afternoon to Brandon Copeland. He is a linebacker for our Atlanta Falcons, and he's been in the league for a while. I almost want to bring you on, Brandon, and go, time now for business talk with Brandon Copeland. What's going on, man?
I cannot complain. How y'all doing?
We have a couple of guys when they come on the show. We always joke around with Foyer when he comes on there. We joke the collective IQ of the program has just been raised.
Yeah,
Carl,
man.
And Brandon's
on. He went to a safety school. Let's just make sure we know that. No.
Hey, man.
Who the real athletes are.
No doubt. And we will talk to Brandon about all his off-the-field things that he's got going on, which are kind of incredible, to be quite honest with you. But let's talk first some football, man. And Mike and I thought, Brandon, the defense did the job. I know you guys are trying to forget about what happened last Thursday night, but you guys held tight. I thought, you know, holding them down to 13 points for a majority of the game was what we needed to do. Offensively, we couldn't get anything going. How do we turn the page and go down to Jacksonville and get a win?
Yeah, I mean, everything in football, as you know, is just a one play and always a next play mentality. So, like you said, we got to turn the page. We got to gel as a unit. We got to play complementary football together, special teams, defense, offense included, right? Play the field position game. But ultimately, we know, you know, we trust our offense. We know that they'll step up and they've bailed us out of some tough situations in the past as well. So, you know, it's a team sport. We'll bounce back together this weekend.
Yeah, I know that it's been a struggle. I know that this team, and we've talked about, you know, labels like rebuild, and some people don't like to hear that. But what is your take on this? I know we had to flip the roster over. You're a first-year player on this football team. The young guys learning. Is it just a process and trust the process with Arthur Smith?
Yeah, it's just a process. You know, I understand that, you know, people on the outside like to call things rebuild. But I can tell you from a veteran standpoint, a nine-year veteran, you know, I don't have time to rebuild, right? Every man out here is trying to win and trying to feed their families and trying to do their best to not only keep a job but to earn respect around the league and around this organization. So, you know, again, it's a one play, one game at a time thing. And you know, we got a chance to kind of debrief after the Thursday night game. And we fortunately, with how the season has gone, we still have an opportunity. So we've shown flashes. Now we just got to make sure that these flashes aren't flashes anymore, and they are become our identity as a team.
Brandon Copeland, our guest, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Congratulations on your newborn. A couple of weeks ago, you welcomed
your
second child into the world, Braylon. So congratulations on that. You have an interesting perspective, absolutely, on the Falcons. Your grandfather played for the Falcons in the 70s. Is that right?
Yes, sir. He played 11 years, and his last season was with the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, to be honest with you, yesterday they showed me some film of him that I had never seen myself. You know, I'd seen some of the old, you know, highlights of Super Bowl seasons. He won a Super Bowl, Super Bowl V with the Baltimore Colts. He lost to Joe Namath in Super Bowl III. But, you know, I'd seen some highlights from some of those games, but I had never seen him getting around on the field in that red Atlanta Falcons jersey. So, you know, it's an honor. It's a pleasure to be able to walk in his footsteps, so to speak. And it just, you know, it's a blessing to me and my family. It is pretty cool.
That really is cool, man. As we're talking with Brandon Copeland here on the WadeForIt.com hotline. He's got a new podcast, basically covered it all, Carl. As we said, this man is a raconteur, an entrepreneur, and I mean, really, guy's got a lot of things going on, man. What is the podcast all about? I know it's a whole lot more than football.
Yes, sir. It's called Money, Music, Culture. For me, I'm a financial education advocate and consultant off the field, which I know sounds crazy to some people, but you know, I realized when I came into the NFL, a lot of people started approaching me to talk to me about money, and some people wanted my money for good. Some people hoped I was another dumb football player or another dumb athlete, to be honest with you. And I remember facing some of the biggest decisions in my life, buying my first home, you know, buying my first car, buying versus leasing a car, all those types of things, my credit score, right? And I had no idea what was going on. I've been to some of the best schools in the country. So I just thought that was wrong. And so we worked hard to create a class called Life 101. We've also worked hard to find interesting ways to talk to people about money, because to be honest with you, sometimes my eyes, you know, peel over, you know, talking about banking interest rates and checking account interest rates. So Money, Music, Culture, we use music to talk about some of our favorite financial education tips. So, you know, when Beyonce or Jay-Z talk about equity in their songs, right, we break down what that actually means, what ownership in a company means, how you actually could purchase a stock or shares, and how you can create generational wealth, not just for yourself, but for your family. And also, let me take a step back, not just generational wealth, because it's not about that. It's about creating financial freedom for yourself so that you don't have to do anything you don't want to do in this world, because you have created the financial foundation for yourself and your family. So Money, Music, Culture, please check it out on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple.
That's my genius, Bill. So many guys, Braylon, specifically young black men, who don't come from money, don't know how to manage it. And to hear you talk about that, and we always think, wow, they're making X amount of money. What are they doing with all this money? How easy is it from your perspective to go through $1 million? Seriously, how easy is it?
Easy.
It's easy, right?
Easy, easy, easy. I know that sounds crazy to a lot of people, but you know, you got to think for most people in life. I use this analogy, right? If you were, I'm from Maryland, from Baltimore, Maryland. At 16 years old is the legal driving limit. You know, imagine at 16 years old, somebody just throwing you keys to a car. You've never driven before, never seen a red light, never seen a stop sign. And you get on the highway or the beltway, which is what we call it where I'm from, right? That's going to go pretty bad, right? And now we're not driving, but we're young people and we're getting $1 million. We're getting multi-millions of dollars. And it's our first times and no one's ever taught us about money. And again, imagine how bad that goes. And we've seen it's gone bad in the past. So again, it's pretty easy to go through $1 million, because $1 million is not really $1 million. 50% of that is gone, right? And then you're trying to take care of your friends, your family. And again, it's just easy to not understand budgeting, investing, putting your money to work for you. And also, a lot of guys coming to the NFL not really understanding the task that this job is to stay in the league for long periods of time, right? So we kind of bank on, oh, I'm going to be like the other guy who's played 12 years. When you really take a step back and look at the locker room, that's few and far between. So, and again, it's just a learning curve and a learning lesson. It's not our fault as athletes. I think it's the school system's fault, not to point the finger, but ultimately that's what we're trying to do with the classes that we're creating and really the conversations that we're creating. We're not talking at people. We're not lecturing people. We're just building and growing and learning together so that we all can, again, create that, reach our own financial goals.
Great stuff. Brandon Copeland's with us, guys. Falcons linebacker here as we're getting ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Carl, we just had the conversation about NFL expansion. Can I throw some questions about our man, since he is more qualified than anyone to speak to it? What would you think, Brandon, about how the Players Association would feel about a team was based in England or Europe, where you're in a completely different tax bracket? For athletes, it might be taxed through the nose on something like that. How would that go down?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I understand the NFL is a business, and you know, obviously most businesses in this country and in the world are trying to grow, so expansion is inevitable. But yeah, I think that's tough, right? You know, that's a long flight back and forth, you know, every week, every other week, and you know, that's a lot, especially with guys with families and things like that. So obviously, you know, who am I? I'm just an employee, but I do think that's a tough task, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happened one day.
Brendan, we want all our guys to be stars on the field. I think you're a star off the field, and I think that may be even more influential when it's all said and done. Your foundation called Beyond the Basics. You gave you guys went to Publix and bought out groceries for 2 hours this week. Where'd you guys do that?
Yeah, we went to Publix at Cascade Crossing this week, and you know, we were fortunate. You know, got some amazing teammates here. Mike Davis, John Kaminsky, Mike Pinnell, you know, all supported that event, and we went out there and literally, like you said, had 2 hours. The all the groceries in the store were on us, so that ended up adding up to about $22,000, which was awesome. And to be quite honest with you, you know, I was talking with John Kaminsky earlier. You know, those types of things are those type of events are things that you kind of personally, like, we dream about as children, right? Mm. To be able to do something like that, put a smile on people's faces. You know, I'm away from my grandparents right now, but you know, I saw some older young women, and you know, some of them literally had tears in their eyes after we did what we did. And again, I think that, you know, for us, that's legacy. That's what this thing is all about. Because, you know, no offense to any athlete out there, but if I asked you who the starting safety was for the New York Giants in 2007, you might take you some time. But you know, those people that are getting out there in the community and helping people, those people that they help remember that person's name for forever. So again, that's what we're trying to do, is just make sure that our legacy here in Atlanta lasts far beyond our playing years, because that's guaranteed to be over one day.
Man, great stuff. I hope everybody's taking this in. And, Brandon, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, man, because I know we always think it's just a guy with a helmet and that's the number on his back, and there's so much, you know, off the field and so many. And unfortunately, in the NFL, like any other sport, it's usually the bad stuff that gets the ink, as opposed to all the altruistic stuff that you guys do on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, that's why I'll applaud you guys for taking the time to highlight this stuff, because, like you said, you see all the negative stories, and it's easy for people to see the ticker or a headline and just loop us all into one category. But there's so many guys doing great things, not only for their communities, their team communities, but also their communities back home. So really appreciate you guys highlighting this. And, you know, I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving, and hopefully, if you are cooking, I hope you don't burn the house down.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, you on Tesla? Holler at me later. Holler at me after the show. Never mind. Don't worry about that. Brandon Copeland, good luck on Sunday, man. Thank you for stopping by on Dukes and Bell.
Thank y'all. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You too, man.
You too. Brandon Copeland, guys. And again, he's been in the league, to Mike's point. You know, spent time with the Patriots. He's been with the Jets, the Lions. But he's making an influence off the field, man, and doing so much in that area, Mike. That's an interesting dude right there. Really is.
But again, it's just it goes back, and that's just like we're kissing up. But it's fascinating, and the stuff that he's, you know, taught at Wharton, you know, at the Wharton College at Penn. It's amazing stuff. See him on CNBC every now and again. It is really cool. But as he said, you know, $1 million is not really $1 million after taxes. But yeah, as he said, I brought that up with you when we were discussing last break during the NFL Blitz about the idea of it's getting more and more traction. That's going to be a hard sell for the players' union, because, you know, you look, talk to the English football and the Premier League, what those guys pay in taxes, Carl, it's through the nose.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you're the league, and we got into this discussion because we started talking about St. Louis is getting a big settlement from Stan Kroenke in the NFL for moving the team, and then we said, you know, teams used to do this, as you guys know, hey, we need a new stadium. If you don't build it, we're moving this to X, you know, city. And the next expansion move, I think, for the NFL is overseas. Here's the thing, Mike. The NFL also doesn't want room and board taken care of for guys that are making this kind of money in the league. And my point is, if you're going to take care of guys, if you talk to guys who went overseas and played professional basketball, a lot of guys go over there because everything's done. Like your car, your room and board, all you're doing is playing basketball, Mike. And then, you know, you make your money and you come back. The NFL's not going to work that way. So, you know, are you telling me now guys have to find a place, they got to do all the things they do over here, and then on top of that, you're going to charge X amount of money in taxes? Right. It's a hard sell.
It's like, you know, you've talked to baseball players who played back in the day in Montreal, or guys who play in Toronto. I mean, it is part of sometimes why guys don't want to go there. You know, it is, you know, big picture.
All right, man, we got plenty more to dive into. Thanks again to Brandon Copeland. Darren Eales is on the way. We're going to talk to the legendary Vince Dooley before the hour's out. We'll talk to him about this rivalry game with Georgia Tech. I was saying this to Mike yesterday. I don't know if I said it on the air or off. We were talking about Georgia Tech. their pride was hurt, right? They got humiliated on national TV against Notre Dame.
Right.
And now you turn the corner, and here comes number one Big Bad Georgia that's been number one pretty much all season, and they're coming to your house. Georgia Tech don't want to get humiliated again. Now, it may happen just because Georgia is that good, and that's just what the season is. But I don't think you're not going to get their best effort, Mike. Georgia Tech is going to give you everything they've got. Even if they get beat on Saturday, they're going to give you everything they got, man.
Hey, you know, we've had Coach on. I don't want to sound like talking to a couple guys off the text line. I don't want to sound like I'm killing Jeff Collins, but it's something you and I have talked about as the course of this. This was a season where we knew going in there were games that looked really tough to win, but there were games you could not lose, which they did. And then they almost won some games like the Clemson game. But there's got to be a progression. I mean, I know year four is make or break. The good news for him is Jeff Schultz pointed out in a really good article, Georgia Tech is always just trying to, you know, hang on money-wise, you know, and the fact that they really can't do anything anyway. It's kind of like where it was with Hewitt back in the old days or any other coach. So, hey, I hope he can win. I don't think he's got a shot against Georgia, but next year the rubber has got to hit the road with that program. That defense, Carl, has got to get better.
Well, where's Darren Eales and Atlanta United going? After bowing out in the playoffs in New York City, we're going to talk to Darren next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Again, great guest today, guys, and thanks to Brandon Copeland for stopping by. Coach Arthur Smith is going to stop by at 5 o'clock, so we'll get a chance to debrief with him and talk about Jacksonville coming up on Sunday. Speaking of debriefing, we want to talk to our man, president of Atlanta United, Darren Eales, joining us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. And, Darren, we had a great season. It didn't finish the way that we wanted to, but Mike and I have been talking about this all week, and we've been wanting to get the chance to talk to you about it. What did you take? What did you make of the game in New York City? What did you think about it?
Yeah, afternoon, chaps. Good to speak to you. Yeah, disappointing. I thought we played really well. You know, it's difficult. We're away from home, and we can talk a little bit about that. But, you know, we missed a chance by not playing at home because we've seen 5 out of 6 teams, you know, lose that played on the road. So I felt good at halftime, and then, you know, we switched off for a corner, start the second half. It was, you know, their striker's a great player. It was a bit of a lucky one. He banged into the ground, and, you know, again, we switched off another corner, and before you know it, you're 2-0 down, and it's tough at Yankee Stadium. We spoke about it quite a lot. You know, there's no space behind. So, you know, once you concede and the team drops back, it's very difficult to find space. So it was a shame, really, because first half, I think while we were on top, that's when we needed to get that goal. But as you said, Carl, in the big scheme of things, you know, to have made the playoffs from where we were was impressive, you know, given the hole we dug for ourselves. I think a real shame was not getting that home game in the playoffs because, you know, we dropped a couple of points that would have given us a top four position, and clearly we're a different proposition playing at home in front of our fans at the St. Louis-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, it's funny. We said the same thing throughout the week leading up to it, Darren, that, you know, just one or two of those, you know, draws that we had just couldn't seal away in stoppage time or the last 10 minutes of a match. It just seemed like there were like three or four of those that we could have definitely, and might even been as high as a 3 seed at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, even New York City's the one, isn't it? You know, they scored that late one when they didn't look like they got a goal in them, and then the substitute came on and smashed that free kick in, and obviously that would have been a big swing where we'd have been definitely, you know, the home team, which I think would have made a difference. But again, I think, you know, if you look back, and I mentioned it last week when I was on the show, you know, since we announced Gonzalo as our coach, we were the number one team in the league in terms of points. So, you know, it's disappointing, but as we look to next season, you know, we're going to have a whole preseason, a whole season with Gonzalo in charge. We're not going to have Champions League for the first time in 4 years, which, you know, we want to be in Champions League, obviously, but when you're in Champions League, that's quite a distraction at the start of the season. So we don't have that, which I think will be a benefit for us to hopefully make a quick start as well. And look, you know, our aim has to be, you know, this time making playoffs and making sure we get a home game in the playoffs. You know, we want to finish top four.
Darren, as you look at this team, you know, I know the off season has just begun, but what do you think we need be better at, and where does your movement and Carlos's decision making come into play there?
Yeah, look, I think overall, you know, we've got a chat with Gonzalo, but, you know, Gonzalo's spoken about being happy with his squad. And again, I think, you know, I don't think we need any major changes because, as I said, second half of the season, I think we showed what we can be, which was, you know, top in terms of points collected in the supporters' shield. You know, there's some areas, I think, in depth that we can try and look for. I think a striker, you know, somewhere that we need that area of depth. So there's a couple of areas I think we'll be looking at. But I don't think there's any major overhaul, which is, you know, that's good news because, you know, we are a fairly young side anyway. So I think, you know, as we look to next year with a full season in Gonzalo, I think it's more about trying to find those elements of depth to give us that, that chance to, you know, go for a full season and really go for it in terms of the Supporters' Shield.
Darren Eales is with us, guys, as we're kind of doing like the post-mortem, and I hate to say that, on the 2021 season. That, man, it was a roller coaster. A lot of stuff that happened. As far as the players that you added, we were talking earlier in the week, Darren, one guy that we love, obviously, is your addition of Aro Uju. He's so much fun to watch. He gives you those wow moments. But a guy that I, no joke, Carl and I were joking around about, I even bought the jersey for Jürgen Damm. He just couldn't stay on the pitch this year. I know when he's healthy, he's got tremendous speed. How much of a disappointment was that for you?
Yeah, and you're right. Like, it's you know, when he's been on the pitch, he's got the pace. You see it. You know, he's very, very quick. But he just kept getting niggles every now and then. You know, just to get him back, and there'd be a setback. And you know, that's a real shame because he's someone that, you know, needs that, you know, needs that consistency. And I think, you know, we saw it a couple of times where he came on, certainly against Cincinnati. I thought that was one of his better games as a substitute appearance in our last game of the season, where he did come on and make that difference. So, you know, we certainly could do with more out of Jürgen. I would agree with that, and he would agree. And, you know, part of that is just making sure he's fit to get him out there. But, yeah, you know, Luis, I thought, was great. Luis as well, I feel like, you know, it's always difficult to come into this league from abroad and hit the ground running, and I thought he did a great job in that. But I really think we're going to see an even better version of Luis for next season, because, you know, he'll have that chance to acclimatise, and, you know, the history of the league's listed with those players. Carlos Gil is a great example at New England Revolution, who took a little bit of time to settle into this league, but once they settled, you know, they really did light it up, and I think he's got the potential to do that.
Darren, when you talk about, you know, this club and training under Gonzalo Pineda as we move forward, are you guys going to change anything as far as the training? And as we look ahead now, you know, you've got some time, downtime, obviously, but when we, you know, get going again here in 7 or 8 weeks or whatever it's going to be, are things going to change? What potentially could look different there in the training process to get us ready for next year?
Yeah, look, I think we'll have a long talk with Gonzalo. I think, you know, the good thing was, I think with him and Rob, they did a great job that we spoke about of, you know, managing that difficult transition and not trying to change too much. And but I think, you know, even with the players, I think, you know, there was a sense that at the end of the season, it was a long season. You know, obviously, with everything that we went through, I think that by the end of the season, I think, you know, there was probably the carryover of the first half of the season in terms of mentally with the players. I think now with Gonzalo, we'll sit down and say, okay, it's after action. You know, what worked, what didn't. You know, there'll be some tweaks we make. Clearly, there'll be some ideas that Gonzalo has for his preseason in terms of, you know, where he'd like to go, how he wants to sort of periodize as we build into the season. And we'll work with him to give him the best opportunity he can to hit the ground running next season. But I don't think there'll be any major changes, but likewise, you know, there'll certainly be, you know, Gonzalo stamping what he wants to do with his preseason. And again, you know, the exciting thing about it is we've got, you know, a club all pulling in the same direction. You know, we've got a top class manager who, you know, gets everything just on the pitch and off the pitch. You know, Rob Valentino and Diego's assistants have done a great job. Obviously, you know, we know we've got Carlos and we've got that long-term stability. So we feel really good about that. Now it's just about making those timely adjustments. And like I said, I think one big adjustment is not having Champions League. Because for once, we're not going to have to go to Costa Rica or Honduras 3 weeks before the start of the season, trying to balance between games that you have to win there as well as the start of the MLS. So I think that will be an advantage.
Cool. It's a Darren Eales with us, guys, president of Atlanta United, as we're looking forward now to 2022. And I know that you got to play this one close to the vest, but guys were asking us earlier in the week the stories, whether it's stories are just written because they're opinion or they're based on fact. But George Bello at some point will get some interest, as would a guy like Miles Robinson, anytime you have guys on the men's national team. But and the business model has always been to move guys, but I think it's the position of Dukes and Bell, Dan. We really don't want to lose anybody off this roster in the offseason if you can help it.
No, look, I think, you know, when we talk about what the sort of the plan is, it's always, you know, we make a move that's right for the player and for the club as well. So it's a two-way thing. And so that doesn't mean that you know, we're always looking to move every player. I mean, I understand with, you know, George Bello in particular, the age he is and the games that he's played for the national team. You know, we've obviously had interest from a number of clubs in Europe. And, you know, that'll be something that we'll see. And if it's the right move for George and for the club, but, you know, we won't do it if it isn't. So nothing's absolutely set in stone. We're not always looking to move our players, and, you know, we want to build, just like you'll say, Mike and Carl, you know, we want this team you know, to be together, to be trying to fight for trophies next year. So we won't look to do that. Look, it comes around quickly because we've already got our home opener against Sporting Kansas City for next season already set in the docket. So, you know, we're looking forward to that. And, you know, Casey are a good team, but that first home opener, we're going to have the full stadium, and, you know, we're already now looking forward to that and looking forward to having a big season in 2021.
Darren, what's your situation as contract-wise? I know Carlos just signed an extension. Just out of curiosity for Atlanta United fans, you're still under contract currently. How many years do you have left? I'm just, you know, as the front office looks to build.
I'm under contract and I'm happy here. You know, I love the city. It's been amazing, both for me and for my family. You know, as the twins are now nearly 7 years old and they were born here. So we're loving it here.
Fair enough. Well, Darren, thank you again for joining us. We'll talk here as we get going in the offseason, seeing what you guys have working, and we're looking forward to seeing what this team looks like
through the offseason. Sorry about that, Carl. And happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, too.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Darren Eales, guys. And Darren didn't really answer that. He said he's happy here, but he's not saying how long he has left under his contract, which,
right.
Mike, I'm not sure if that matters, but if Carlos just signed an extension, I would think that if Darren is in the last year of his deal, which, again, I'm not quite sure about, which is why I asked, I think that an extension is probably coming for him after working through all this turmoil here over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I know, like I said, and it is, you know, unfortunately a season where we always say what Parcells throws out there, your record isn't a reflection of what you are. We just let the last 5 or 10 minutes of too many matches get away, which, again, if we can be at home, like any other thing, Carl, like the NBA playoffs, if you've got that home court advantage, it's such a huge difference for us. And New York has got that very idiosyncratic home field advantage, right, with that pitch. So we had to go up there, and we put ourselves in that position.
All right, man, plenty more to get to. The legendary Vince Dooley's going to stop by. We'll talk to Connor Riley about the Dogs as well coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll get to our picks. Hey, Bo, real quick, did Chris give you his picks for today?
Give me his picks for today. I have them.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure because Chris is off today.
Is red hot. I mean, to be quite honest with you, he is the guy that is making money for you of all the prognostication on this program.
Well, 21-9. He's 21-9. What, Bo?
Yeah, I've had like 5 straight weeks of 2-1, and you know what? I might just change Chris's picks if I want to. I don't know.
If they don't go right, he's going to accuse you of that regardless.
No, because I have it. I have a text that I will screenshot so he cannot accuse me of cheating him.
All right, man. Hey, good stuff. I just was curious. So, Chris, we'll get Chris's picks in here, Bo, Mike and I as well. That's coming up at 4:20. All right, when we come back, we'll find out what Vince Dooley thinks about Georgia Tech, where the Dogs are currently right now. How do you play this to make sure everybody's healthy? Listen, there's still a lot the Dogs have to make sure they're getting right before they head into that SEC championship game. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, guys, we'll talk with Connor Riley from Dog Nation and get the latest on injuries and all of that stuff with the Dogs as they head into their rivalry weekend with Georgia Tech. Right now, though, let's talk to the legendary Vince Dooley, Mike. And it's a pleasure every year around this time that we get a chance to visit with Coach around Thanksgiving. And, Coach, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family. And another big week for, you know, Dog football as you talk about Georgia Tech. We were talking about these rivalry games, Coach. I mean, even in down years, like Georgia Tech has not had the season they've wanted, you know you're going to get their best on Saturday, don't you?
Well, that's for sure, and history has proven that. I still remember the 76th championship year, and in which Tech just played us almost off the field. Mm. And we were fortunate that we got the ball back on a fumble with less than about 10 or 15 seconds left to kick a field goal to finally beat Tech. And so that's been the history of this series. Tech will play well. They always have. And so I'm expecting the same thing out of them.
Yeah, you won 13-10 that year as a number 4 Bulldog team, by the way. Coach, when we talk about this game,
there you go.
You know, I was going to say the one game which always pops into my mind, it was like my second year here in Atlanta, was the Jasper Sanks fumble, no fumble at Bobby Dodd, and you didn't have replay back then. Those refs were so bad they got disciplined by the SEC. They didn't get to call the SEC championship the next week.
Yeah, I remember that. That did cost us a ball game, so anything can happen in a football game. Even an official can make a mistake or two, which it depends on what side you're on as to how big the mistakes are. But for sure, those things will enter into any football game. And so this will be another one of those. I used to thought about it. The biggest thing we had to do, I don't really get the other school at the time, for 25 years, we had to play 3 of our biggest rivals at the end of the season, all in a row. Florida, of course, was big and is always big and usually great. And Auburn is always big, sometimes a championship, riding on that ball game many times. And then the biggest of all is still Georgia Tech, even though they're not in the conference, though when we first came, they were. So that added to it. So to play three programs like that, your biggest rivals, all in a row, was the biggest challenge I had at Georgia when I coached.
It is legendary. The legendary Vince Dooley guys here with us on Dukes and Bell as we talk about the Dogs and Georgia Tech. So, Coach, how do you manage, you know, Mike and I were saying, get the starters out of there. We don't want anybody hurt. But you still got a game to play. I mean, is there a point in the game where you feel like, okay, if we have this kind of lead, I'm going to pull my guys. But, I mean, is 21 enough? I mean, I don't know. What is there a number?
I don't know that I've ever thought about the number. I think it's a team. And then particularly in this day and time, Jeff Collins, I think, is a great fit at Georgia Tech. And even though they've lost a lot of close games, you could tell the program is going in the right direction. And their running back Gibbs and their quarterback Sims is about as good as I've seen at Georgia Tech. So you're never quite safe. I don't care who you're playing. And so you better have a good lead if you decide to make that move. And I hope we're in that position. I don't know that we can be, but I hope we will be, which will be great.
Coach Dooley is with us here, guys. Brought to you by Kroger. Make sure you get all your vittles ready for Thanksgiving. By the way, are you doing the – or is Barbara doing the cooking? Are the kids doing the cooking? Where's Thanksgiving this year?
Well, there's about – they just decided after about 2 weeks of debate going back and forth. I never listen until they tell me on the last day. So we're going over to our son's house, Daniel, and Barbara's got the souffle. What do you – sweet potato souffle, which is, to me, the biggest thing of all of the good things on Thanksgiving. And I said, you better not mess that up. That's your only responsibility. You're a specialist in that. So I'm looking forward to it. Tomorrow.
Coach, the rankings came out last night. Do you like the idea that a non-Power 5 like Cincinnati is maybe going to get a shot at the college football playoff?
Well, I think it's good that they are. I don't know what they will be, but if they do, I think they deserve it. They were a pretty good outfit, and they've been good. So right now we know, but you know how these things change from week to week. It's just been amazing the way it's changed. But right now, they certainly look like they're going to be in on one of the four. And if they do, then that's good for them. They've had a great program there in recent years.
I know that it's this ever-changing landscape in college football that a guy like Dan Mullen, who goes to the SEC championship, actually played Alabama close the last couple times they played. He's out. And it really seems, Coach, to be a byproduct of how much, and just to use Kirby as an example, how Kirby is dominating recruiting and the Florida fan base and the athletic department and Booster said he's not catching up to what Georgia's doing.
Well, I said from the time that Kirby was hired that was a big decision that was made to let Mark Rick go, because I hired Mark, and I'm not sure that I would have made that decision, and it was controversial. But nevertheless, the decision has been great as to who to hire, because Kirby would have been the one that I would have hired without any question. And he is, with the background that he's had at Alabama, where the emphasis has been on recruiting, and he is the most fanatical that I have seen. He's far surpassed my expectations as a recruiter and as a coach. He's hired a good staff year in and year out, replaces them like Saban has done at Alabama. And when you do that every year, if you're in the top one or two or three or four in the country, then you're going to consistently be at the top competing. So that's what I love about Kirby. And his emphasis on recruiting, the success of recruiting, and that's why we're in that position again to make that magic thing happen, which we got our fingers crossed that it may this year.
Coach, how hard is that to replace guys on the staff? You've done that. And, you know, we think that it's just, you know, that you're going to go find the guy that's as good as the last guy that may have left or is leaving for an opportunity or whatever it might be. it's a lot more difficult, isn't it, to replace a really good guy or coach on your staff?
Yeah, it is. Saban has done that through some professional. I think his experience in professional football has gotten him to know the coaches and the pros, and he has certainly hired some, and he's given those coaches that have not done so well a second chance, some of whom have done extremely well, some that are great coordinators, maybe hadn't been as good a head coaches as he would like, but nevertheless, he's done an excellent job. We've had to replace him, but not like they have. It seems like about every 3 years. I've always believed that a third of your staff needs to be part of your program, and the other, or at least two-thirds almost, and a third from outside, where you got new ideas and new ideas to offensively, defensively. And so we were able to do that as well. But nobody has done it better than Saban, and Kirby has certainly followed in that footstep.
Coach, we were talking earlier today on the show, and we mentioned Cincinnati and all the different, you know, wrinkles to this year's playoff. Is this a year that kind of makes the argument you don't need to expand the playoff because there's been a year with only a couple of elite teams deserve to be in that Final Four?
Yeah, there's still some concern that the people I talk to, they just seem to be all set on a 12-team, quote, playoff. That's going to be a lot of football games each year if that happens. With a lot of young players coming to college, but there again, there's a kind of a different emphasis in that respect than I used to, but also I've adjusted to a lot of things in college football the last couple of years I haven't been used to, so I guess I'll adjust to that if that happens, but I like the four, and I hope we'll keep it, but I'm not sure that we will.
Coach, happy Thanksgiving. It's a pleasure to have you on, and let's hopefully get another win on Saturday and get ready for this SEC championship. Thank you again.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Talk to you one more time, I hope.
You got it, Coach.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Coach. Yeah, clean, old-fashioned hate coming up on Saturday. And by the way, there'll be a lot of Georgia fans out there. We've seen some of those texts and memes, Carl, on Twitter. Kirby has declared a redout for
yes.
Bobby Dodd.
I saw it.
And by the way, we put it up there. And again, you know, Squid is in for Chris today. We want to do a poll question. I mean, I don't know if that's worth if it's poll question worthy, but how soon? What's a big enough lead to sit the starters? I know it's a total disrespect for Georgia Tech, but my God, the way they played in this five-game losing streak is, especially off that Notre Dame performance, it's hard not to go down that road, right?
It is, and I know Coach is not going to disrespect, you know, the Georgia Tech program that way. He says, I hope we're in that situation. Mm. Here's the thing. Georgia's been in that situation every game. Kirby had a chance every game now, as you go back and look, to sit the starters at some point. How soon do you do that? And the only reason I think that's relevant here is because, again, you're going to leave Big Jordan Davis out there more than he needs to get ready for the SEC championship game, risking injury. I'm not.
Right.
I'm not.
And it's funny. I know we got they had a video which showed, I guess, Zamir White kind of slowing up or going down and then the reaction, hey, Jordan Davis is going to come and run the touchdown. Let's not get over cute like years ago, Carl. Jim Donnan goes, I got two words, man. He closes his press conference. Richard Grant. And he goes out and I think he blew his knee out using a defender in an offensive play. So, I mean, I'm not trying to go. I know that's the old days and bad memories and this and that, but I just, you know, Charles Grant, by the way, Richard Grant's a bad actor. Charles Grant was a DE. but it was kind of like Donnan's thing, you know, he just couldn't help himself in that situation.
Hey, man, we're going to find out how healthy the dogs are. Connor Riley's coming up. We'll talk with him about the college football playoff rankings as well. How might that shake out after a big rivalry weekend? We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.